The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, April 14, 2019.
Church. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus, our Christ. Let us truly know that today is a wonderful day that God has made. He blesses us, fills the day with blessings, challenges, and opportunities. And even more than either of these, He fills it with His presence, His power, His provision. Truly, today is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and worshipful God, we come before You today to lift our hearts in praise and to bend our hearts in humility before You, the living God. We ask now, Father, that we truly may worship You in spirit and in truth. Lead us and guide us, inspire us and lift us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This is a reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 1 through 49. Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king." Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered, "You say so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man." But they were insistent and said, "He stirs up the people by teaching throughout all of Judea, from Galilee, where he began, even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then he put an elegant robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who is perverting the people. And here I have examined him in your presence, and I have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." Then they all shouted together, "Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas, for us. This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again. But they kept shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" A third time, he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished. As they led him away, they seized a man, Simon, Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others also, who were criminals, were led to be put away to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leader scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deed. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. While the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly, this man was innocent." And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. The word of God for the people of God.
It was kind of funny. I knew that Carrie was a liturgist, and Norma, I forgot to tell her, until last night. And we were talking about it, and we were talking about the churches and growing up and the scripture readings. And anyway, that's still in the way. And we were talking about, Carrie grew up in the Catholic Church, and it was too funny when she said, you know, the worst thing about Palm Sunday is they would read that whole 50 verses of Scripture about the whole thing. And I just kind of laughed. I didn't say anything right away because that wasn't the time or place. I waited until later and said, by the way, you're the liturgist, and it's only 49 verses. So when she came to church this morning, she got her 5 pages of Scripture and prepared to read them. So I just thought it was funny that she was the liturgist on the very Sunday of which she spoke. How many of you have met somebody that is passionate about something? Nobody? Yeah. They're excited about it. They're passionate. They're enthused. What's it like to be around somebody like that? It's pretty cool, isn't it? Sometimes it's a little over the top, I have to admit. You know, and sometimes they go a little overboard, you know, and I tell you, it's not that big. I should just move it, shouldn't I? That's what I want to do. I want to move it. I could, couldn't I? It really wouldn't matter, would it, if I moved it? That would be exactly what would suit me, to move this thing out of my way. It isn't even really all that well made. Look at this thing. It's jiggly and wiggly. It's kind of everywhere. And not only that, I just got a splinter. Just a minute. It's quite inconvenient, by the way. Nicholas, maybe we need to take this thing home and do some work on it. It's a little too rough. Get some sandpaper. Yeah, maybe even get... we can get a scraper, you know, and we can scrape this roughness off of this thing, and maybe somebody else won't get injured. It's just I'm not touching that thing again. I've already got one splinter, and that's enough for this morning. This is made out of cedar. Do you know that this cedar splinter is now going to get really red, puffy, and have to be dug out with my pocket knife later? How inconvenient is this thing? Anyway, have you ever been around somebody that's really passionate about something? They're really excited. And you know, it's like little Nick. He comes upstairs. I love you, Nick. And I'm so glad you like hockey. But I don't know who Bull Dorn is. That's a lumber company. I don't know who Chafeka Kicks. I can't even pronounce their names. But he says it's number 8, and he's this Russian hockey player. And then Big Nick joins in the conversation, and then they go on about how this Ovechkin person is going to win this other person's record. He's on his way to break out Chelinski. Gretzky thing. Anyway, but they dropping names, they dropping teams, they dropping places and time, and it just goes on for 5 minutes, you know? And I'm going, yeah, I'm trying to stay there. Have you been there? You've been around that person that they're just so excited about, and then they find another person that's like them, and they
This is really, you notice I grabbed it by the purple. I didn't get splinters that time. You know, it's contagious. They get around too. Greg, you're a car person, aren't you? You know, have you ever been to a car show and you get a bunch of Chevrolet people gathered around? They're trying to push the car out of the way. But then there's the Ford crowd, and they're enjoying their cars. And then there's the Dodge crowd that's envious of both, because theirs just didn't make it. I'm in trouble, aren't I? But I mean, you get around car people, and then they get out their pictures, and they show you all about the cars they had. And you know, one other thing, Greg won't even let me drive his Mustang. I told him he could ride with me 10 minutes after we get to 4:30. Are we ready, Greg? Folks, you don't know it, but this old boy is a hot rodder at heart. You see this? This is red. I like them fast. I might not be as fast as I once was, but I still like cars as fast as they ever was. You know, that's just the way it is. So, but you get around that. They go back and they tell you about that car they had when they were a kid, the car they dated, the car that went to the prom. They tell you, hey, you've been around them, haven't you? Yeah, you have. Donna, you do sewing, don't you? You ever get around them sewing people who keep dragging stuff out they've made? Come, that's you, huh? I thought so. I'm a toolaholic, and my name is Jim. If you go to my past, I'll be showing you I'll show you pictures. I've got them on my phone. Anybody want to see the pictures? Yeah. Not really. See, that's what I thought. But have you just been around that person who was passionate about something and you could feel it? It's like Donna with the sewing, the Knicks with the hockey, Greg and cars. It just comes out. They talk about it and they share it. And they're excited about it. Today is called Passion Sunday, not just Palm Sunday. I think that in Christianity today, the cross of Jesus has become inconvenient, burdensome, to be explained away or to completely be ignored. It seems that today, most Christians don't want to hear the story we read this morning. It's just too hard for me, snowflakes. Suck it up, buttercup. It happened. And I think that's wrong. This is getting pretty handy now. This is just the right height. And now that I got some covering over the splinters, it's a little safer. I'm warming up to it. Maybe it isn't so bad after all. But it seems that they get to that part of the Bible and all of a sudden Jesus has been beaten and he's being spat on and he's having his beard plucked out and he's being run through the street and the Via Dolorosa, this sorrow and tears and all of this stuff is horrible and he's made fun of and his clothes are taken. He's nailed to a cross. He's made fun of, the Son of God, by the very people he came to give hope to. And Christians run from it. They'd rather wave the palm branch on Sunday morning and sing hallelujah, hallelujah, than to get to the cross. And you know how I know that? Because what we did in church tradition is we said, okay, we're going to have the palm celebration on Palm Sunday, and then we're going to have the tomb is empty on Easter Sunday, and right in the middle of all that, we're going to have a Maundy Thursday. That's when we'll kill him. That's when we'll celebrate his death. And you know what? You don't come. So if we don't kill him this Sunday, you won't know he died. You see, we'll celebrate with palm branches. And we'll skip the crucifixion because maybe the cross is a little inconvenient. Maybe it just don't suit our modern times.
maybe the shed blood of Jesus for the redemption of humanity really isn't all that important. Because something I've noticed is a lot of Christians lack passion about their salvation. They lack passion about their faith, if they share their faith at all. They're lacking enthusiasm in their voice. You see, the enthusiasm and the passion of Christ in our actions and in our words will bring people who want to be a part of that. You see, that's how some people become car addicts or toolaholics. Because as they're young, that passion gets shared with them. When we tell people, if we tell people about our relationship with Jesus, can they feel it? Can they experience it? Or is it just an inconvenience? How about this word passion? How many of you like to study and research where words began? Raise your hand if you do that and you enjoy it. So far I've got two hands and a so-so. Other than me. Because it's fun. How about the word passion? Do you know where the word passion came from? It had one purpose, one design, and one intent. When that word was created in about 110 A.D., was created out of Latin, and it had one purpose. And that purpose to that 100-year group was to describe Jesus' death on the cross. When you use the word passion, you didn't have to say the passion of the Christ. It was implied. Now we've taken it and we've used it and we've changed it, and it's sometimes it was inconvenient. So we made other words out of it. We all of a sudden have passion for trees and we have passion for flowers. But in the beginning of this word meant one and one thing only, and that was the life, death of Jesus, the passion of Christ. How many of you would like to see the church grow? Anybody? How many of you feel like it's your job to be a part of that? Or you're called to be part of that? Some of you don't. I wonder what's hanging out. Here we go. Let's go. Ooh, I'm on overtime, Greg. I just got you to look, didn't I? Everybody looked at your watch, didn't you? Maybe, maybe not. Let's do some tests. If you read this text, or as you hear this text read, does it stir something? Does it stir some kind of passion? Does it stir some kind of an emotion? It should. It may be that it's hard to hear. It may be that it pricks you in the heart when you hear how Jesus suffered. When you hear how Jesus died, when you hear that the people who had been close to Him were far away, and the people that killed Him got it. If it pricks you in the heart, that's a good thing. But if it doesn't, you should examine your heart to see if you've given it to Jesus yet or not. Because this should stir something in the heart of a Christian. He should stir gratitude. He should stir some passion. He should stir some depth of feelings. My great-grandmother Robinson, that woman, I think if she'd have said, God send Moses down here, Moses would have said, yeah, Granny, what you need? That's how close she was. That woman would pray, and I got scared. I wouldn't look up.
We'd go Galak, and you don't know what they are, and it don't matter. It's out in the mountains. You go out, and you pull these weed-looking things, and you stack them up in packs of 25, and you sell them. That's what we did to make a living. She'd take all of us kids to pull Galak all day. And at lunchtime, she'd get out a tin, a bucket, and she'd get out biscuits. Do you know what really upset me about Granny Robinson more than anything else? She took the apple butter off the table. Do you know what apple butter is? And I ain't talking about that stuff in a jar down at the store. I'm talking about something that Granny made. Granny's house, the kitchen was kind of small and the table was in the kitchen. And after you got done eating, she'd slide the table over against the wall so there'd be room. And she'd leave a basket with biscuits on the table. And she'd leave butter on a saucer on the table, and jelly and apple butter. And the house had low walls, low windows, and I was a boy. I could go by there, slide up the screen a little, and get in that biscuit basket and not have to go in the house. And then I could get in the butter dish, too. And then I could get in that apple butter was gone. I didn't care about the jelly. The apple butter was what I was after. She took it away. I went in to talk to Granny about the apple butter. And I said, Granny, I'm terribly upset. And she laughed at me. I didn't tell Sunday school. She laughed and she said, somebody took your apple butter, didn't they? I said, yeah. She said, that was Papa. And if you'll look, he's sitting on the back porch laughing right now. And he was. Because I was doing this, you know. I was just a kid. So I was having to reach over. And I pulling everything up. And there didn't find no apple butter. And I was so upset, I put my biscuit back. And then I went, this is when Granny did what has stuck with me for a long time. And she said, son, she said, do you know how much you love apple butter and biscuits? I said, yeah. And food in general, but, you know, apple butter and biscuits more particularly. And she kneeled down. And she looked at me. Big old tears started down. And she put her hands on my waist. And she pulled me up close. I scared she's going to pray. Because every time she looked like that, something was going to happen. And she pushes me back a little bit. And she said, don't ever forget how much Jesus loves us. More than you like apple butter. And she hugged me again. This time, she was dripping on me. Folks, that's the passion that it takes to get people to want the same Jesus that you've got to sit in a church on a Sunday morning. You got to warm up to this. You got to share it. This is Passion Sunday. It's to celebrate the passion of Jesus. And I hope that as we come together next week, we're filled with the passion of the cross. For it is dying on this cross that redeemed our lives. And it should mean something to us. Grab your palm branches. I've noticed Methodists seem a little afraid of the altar. It seems like this is a place where we get really nervous. Except for communion, and then we're okay because we're going to eat. So we're okay with it. Now, here's the deal. You might be one of those people who want to take one of these home. That's fine. There's a bucket out there. Grab one as you go. Please, grab one as you go. This does celebrate. This does honor. This can represent our will. My will might would have been to move this because it was inconvenient. But God's will is that this would move me. This Sunday's palm branches do indeed become Ash Wednesday's reminder that from earth we were created, from ashes, from dust, and to it we return. If you will join me in bringing our palm branches to the cross as it is worthy of our praise, let's bring them to the cross. Our wants, our own things, is at the cross. And they laid their garments at his feet, and they waved palm branches in the air. May we be filled with passion and compassion as we share our faith and our journeys together. For this is about the passion of the Christ. Christians, let's get real and share it like my granny did. May our hearts be filled with the passion of Christ, and may that passion instill in us, and reassure in us that we have a love that extends from God to us, and that our love is given back to God through that movement that is the passion of our Christ in us. And now may God's grace, peace, and mercy go with you, bless you, and keep you. May His countenance shine upon you. May His peace fill your heart. May His presence fill your day. May His provision provide a path for which you can do ministry. And now may truly grace and peace go with you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.